Welcome back to Counterculture. Here on the podcast, we spend time discussing relevant cultural topics to encourage high school students in their faith. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Thompson, and I hope that today's episode challenges you, encourages you, and equips you in your walk with Christ. Without further ado, let's dive into today's conversation.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Counterculture segment of the Eastview Students High School podcast. My name is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to bring you guys this conversation. We actually had this conversation two or three months ago, and so we've been sitting on it for a while, but I'm really excited for you guys to hear our conversation with Taylor Brown. Taylor Brown used to work with me at CIY. He was actually my boss when I was an event staff for a couple summers in college, and he probably is one of the most gifted speakers that I've ever witnessed. He has a passion for Christ, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear our conversation. And one thing about him, really quick, if you guys might know who Taylor is, if you've ever seen My Cousin Jim videos, the announcement guy Jim from CIY. So Taylor actually is the actor that plays Jim, and those videos are hilarious. But even more impressive than those amazing videos is the wisdom and insight that Taylor brings just everywhere he goes. And so I'm really excited for you guys to hear this conversation. And without further ado, let's hop in.
But also really excited to talk about today's conversation and our guest that we have with us today. So Cooper, you want to introduce him? You guys go back.
Yes, we go back a little bit. So this is somebody that I am just really excited to have on the episode, on the podcast. His name is Taylor Brown. And so Taylor served as the director of CIY Mix for several years. And I actually was an intern worship leader for two summers. And Taylor was my boss. So we worked together, and just he's fantastic. So Taylor, welcome to the podcast, man.
Man, it is really good to be on this podcast with you too.
Yes.
Wow. Just
watching you do, watching you all work. Like, look at these just artists.
Thanks, man. I think we'd probably still be called amateur podcasters. What? Yeah. We haven't even been doing this for a year.
No, it's or been, maybe we have. It's been a little less than a year, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
You're better at it than me. That's all I know.
Well, thanks, man. It's super good to have you here, seriously. And so can you just go ahead, and I know some students are going to know you. And actually, you know what? We because of COVID, I don't know if any of our current students will actually know you as announcement guy Jim, which is like, do you sometimes find that as your like label? Like,
it has become that. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. So if any students do know announcement guy Jim from Move, I'm very sorry. That is me. You had to sit through that very uncomfortable experience. If you don't know what we're talking about, then I'm sorry. But I'm Jim.
They probably would, because we did a Move At experience. Maybe like a year or two, a year and a half ago. So for the students that maybe don't remember, like, he's the awkward announcement guy that was at the farm.
Yes, the farm.
Oh, that was maybe my favorite one.
Which was one of our favorites to film. So the history here is they had a guy named announcement guy Tim,
right?
Mm-hmm. Who did like 8 years and was amazing at it.
And that's back when Cooper and I were in high school,
mm-hmm. right? Okay, mm-hmm. So he was he is a trained comedic actor. Like, he writes for Netflix specials.
Really? He
was in Second City Improv in Chicago, which is like where Tina Fey got her. Like, he is legit. And we would fly him in to do that. And then he was done. And so then they asked me, which I worked with all these guys at CIY. I was just down the hall. I'm in no way a good follow-up to Tim. And they were like, we want you to be his cousin Jim. I was like, okay. So like, what's Jim's deal? Like, what's kind of, and they're like, oh, this is the only thing they gave me. They're like, oh, Jim's the worst. And I was like, okay. So that is what I came up with to be the worst.
That's amazing.
And then they told me to make announcements.
Jim's the worst.
That's the only direction they gave me.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, hey, we'll, so
you're not just announcing
right,
that.
Right. I was just saying, thankfully,
I've been preaching before it, like at youth conferences and stuff, and I will see the pocket of kids that realize I'm Jim.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'll see them start talking to each other, they're realizing I'm Jim. Right now.
Yeah. Well, hey, you are, I mean, obviously, so much more than announcement guy, Jim. And so, can you just kind of dive into a little bit? Just kind of like who you are, kind of what you, like what you do, and a little, tell us a little bit about your family too.
So, okay. So my name is Taylor, not Jim. And, my wife's name is Shaylee. We have three lovely, lovely little kids. The four years old is my oldest, then two, then one. So they're all real little, which means I never sleep. I worked at CIY for 8 years, like Cooper said, but now I travel and speak at different conferences and churches, and I also own a production company. So I make films, usually teaching films, sometimes documentaries. And that's called Rough Terrain Studios. And then we make those and then give them out basically for free. It's pay what you want. So if anybody can pay, awesome. If you can't, then just have it and be blessed by it. If it's a youth minister with a group or a teenager who's just like, hey, I would just want to like have a 4 week study, then either way, it works either way.
It's so awesome, man. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, that's awesome. So basically you just want to kind of hop in a little bit, into your story, like kind of how you came to know Christ. Like, have you, actually, you know, I'll just kind of hand it over.
Yeah. So I grew up in a really, I'm fortunate, and I've realized how rare it is to come from just a really good home.
Yeah.
Like, good dad, good mom. My brother is an idiot, but he's a good kid. No, he's not an idiot. My brother's awesome. I love him. And had a good home. But in junior high, I started showing symptoms of something that wasn't as talked about at the time. Later would find out it's OCD. Got diagnosed with obsessive compulsive order later on. And then even later from that, like adulthood, got diagnosed with anxiety. And so a lot of my faith story is figuring out what to do with fear. And stress and anyone who struggles with anxiety or depression can tell you, it's not just like, hey, look on the bright side.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I see the bright side. I'm very thankful for a lot of things in my life, but I kind of feel like I might lose my mind. I also just feel on the verge of a panic attack or whatever. I've had people say, is there sin in your life you need to get out to help with anxiety? Yeah, and the answer is always, well, sure. I'm a sinner, yes. But I don't think this is coming just, I don't think this is just a, I did something wrong.
Yeah.
And this, it is a mental thing. And
yeah.
So my faith journey is a lot of realizing God's main goal for my life may not be just making me feel better. God's plan for me in my life is to be with me, to be with me, whether I'm on stage communicating to people or whether I'm backstage having a panic attack. God is still equally with me, and learning to trust him in that, and learning to not feel guilty or like I don't have enough faith or that he's not good enough to help me, but just be like, this is a relationship. He is God, and I live on this side of eternity where the world is still broken. And people have anxiety. People also have cancer. People get in car wrecks. We're just in a world where we're all still broken.
Yeah.
But Jesus died for me and paid the price for my sins so that I still have a reason to wake up in the morning and live for him. So that there's all kinds of stuff I could talk to you about my story. Yeah. I mean, there were times where I almost strayed away, that I almost gave up on faith. But kind of like the story where Peter looks at Jesus and goes, hey, Jesus, I think I'm still following you because I don't have any other options, which is a story in the Gospels. I love that story. This is the Apostle Peter going, I'm following you because I don't know where else to go.
Right.
And sometimes that's how I've been with Jesus, where it's just like, I haven't found any better options. You are the best option I've found. And that's not where I stay. He brings me into a deeper relationship. But yeah, so there's just kind of like a stone over water, kind of skipping across the surface of my story. There's a couple different areas of
That's cool. And also kind of a redemptive story too, that you've got, you know, anxiety and OCD, yet you were called to be a speaker in front of hundreds of students. And, and you know, that's just, that's crazy.
So I remember struggling with OCD, tears in my eyes, just not able to sleep at night, feeling, and my mom telling me one day, Taylor, I really think you're going to sit at a desk someday with a kid, a young kid coming to your office for help, and you're going to be able to help them because you went through this. Little did we know that I would be at a conference of 5,000 telling kids about it. And that's really neat. I have a, so I do take medicine. I take a daily medicine called paroxetine that helps. But then I have a situational medicine that I take that it says on the label. Now remember, I feel called to preach the gospel on stages, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But I have a bottle that says take as needed for stage fright. It's like that.
What?
Like I deal every time I speak, I'm always scared.
Yeah.
Will I have a panic attack today? Mm. And I have had panic attacks in front of crowds before.
Oh, wow.
And,
really?
Yeah.
And it's the worst. And then somehow whenever that happens, Jesus gets more glory. And I could talk all day about that. But yeah, the very like way I'm limited, this isn't a story of like, yeah, and then I was so brave I overcame. Because no, like Taylor would love to just stay in bed. No, Jesus was so good that he used me despite my own shortcomings.
Yeah, but,
yeah, that's cool. And also too, like the last podcast we just released was one on anxiety.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Any students that might be listening to this that maybe haven't heard that yet, you know, if this is kind of moving, I'd encourage you to go check that out. Conversation with Sarah. I do want to jump into, so you've worked with students for a long time, you know, you've seen all the things that comes with student ministry, what students are struggling with, what their worlds look like. If you could kind of pinpoint what the biggest obstacle you see for them in their Christ following journey, what would that be? How do you see that play out with high school students?
Well, I think this podcast is for students, right? So the people listening to this can give you a better answer than me, for sure. And so for all of you listening, I don't mean to talk for you or to tell you about yourself more than you already know yourself. But one thing, I'll say it this way. A burden on my heart for students is this. I feel like all of us who are older, who minister to students, we have done a bad job telling them their story. And here's what I mean by that. I think a lot of times we look at high schoolers or junior hires or whatever, and we say, here is how you're supposed to live, and here's how you're supposed to think, okay? So have a good attitude and be pure and don't talk like that and dress like this and don't listen to that music and do this and make sure you read your Bible at least 5 minutes a day and make sure you go to church and make sure you... And so we've given students the way we think they're supposed to live. But here's what happens. I'm talking straight to you now, students. You will someday leave this church, or you will leave youth, or you will maybe even leave your home or go somewhere else, and someone is going to tell you the story of where you came from. And that's going to matter to you more than all the values you were told you were supposed to live by when you were a student. I hope this makes sense. So if you get to college, they can say, we are all here by accident, and so the best thing you can do is just be true to yourself and be happy. Well, if we have not been telling you the story of actually you're made in God's image and you are made for amazing things, to depict God and to be creative like God, not just obey a list of rules, but to actually do amazing things in God's name, if you haven't heard that story, well, then this other story that says you're here by accident, so be true to yourself, is going to sound great. And you might as well go live according to the rules of that story. So am I making sense where I feel like we've given you the rules of life, but no major story that you're part of? And I hope, I want 17-year-olds and 13-year-olds to realize God's up to something. He always has been, and he's up to something with you, and you fit into that. You're not just a kid who needs to obey rules so you don't go to hell. You are part of God's story. So I hope that kind of makes sense.
That's good.
No, I think that's good, man. And like we talk a lot about Eastview students, like we talk about every day. And so we really try to hit on the fact that like following Jesus is not something that is like on just Sundays and Wednesdays. But really that, like, following Jesus is an everyday life and everyday calling. Yeah. And so, and it's a lot more than just a checklist too. And so my question for you is, like, and you really touched on it, man, like anxiety, like we have students wrestling just with a lot of stuff. It's really tough. Actually, that's really one of the main reasons why I just, as soon as I graduated high school, I looked back at my high school years and I was like, that was hard. That was really hard. That was really challenging. I went through really hard things. And so I want to be able to turn around and to help out high school students and to shepherd them and pastor them through their just really tough things that they're going through. And so, so right now, like a lot of students just are tired. They're exhausted from COVID, from school. They're going through a lot, like mentally, like a lot of mental health battles. And all on top of these years being like really formative for them, like, you know, going through, you know, like maturing physically, mentally, emotionally. And, so from your perspective and experience, like, can you speak to the students that might be listening that are like maybe on the fence about Jesus and like, why is it important for them to follow Jesus every single day? And I think this is going to be something to tie into what you already talked about, but
yeah, sure. So here's my belief. You know, Jesus shows up in the Gospels in the Bible. So if you open your Bible up in half and then flip a little bit further towards the back of it, you get to the Gospels. Mm-hmm. That's the first time Jesus shows up. There's a whole lot of your Bible that happens before that. What's all that other stuff before Jesus shows up? That's all part of the story too. And so here's why I follow Jesus. It's all that stuff before Jesus shows up. It's those books where he shows up, and it's after. So Let me say it like this. As I look around the world around me, yes, I see chaotic things, but I see more design. I see beautiful things. I feel in my heart a need for things to be right and just. I have a need in my heart. You guys have it. We all have it, a desire for connection with other people. Why do we have these things? Why do we see beautiful things and think it's beautiful? Why do we care that someone is hurt? Why do we want boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, parent, whatever? Why do we want? I think it's because it's how we are designed. If I'm here by accident, I don't have that. I had to get it somewhere. And so I think it's put in me. So let's start there.
Okay.
So maybe I come from something that designed me. Okay. Well, then as I read my Bible, I see that laid out very clearly, better than anywhere else. I am designed and put together to be like the God who designed me. And there's this cool thing that happens in Genesis where God, you know, he speaks and there's light, and he speaks and there's, actually, you all have sound. Okay, can we use your sound effects?
Yeah.
All right. So do this one.
Okay.
Hold on. I need to get you. The guys were playing with these sound effects before they started recording it. And I was like, have y'all ever used these? And they said, no, we haven't. I said, we're using them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let the guys use their full arsenal of tools here. This like sparkly one.
Okay.
He speaks and everything and light happens.
Yes.
Now we're making a podcast. So he's he speaks and there's vegetation. Okay, don't do it anymore.
All right, one more time.
One more time. And the platypus. Oh man, I could do this all day. So we have these desires. I think it shows to the fact that we're created. God makes everything, and then there's this cool thing that happens. He reaches down into what he just made, and he takes some dust, and he forms it into the shape of a human being. And then Genesis says, and then God breathed into the dust. You know, he breathes into it, and man comes to life. Now, I don't think this is just like jumper cables, like he hooked it up to the car, like, let's get this thing running. You know, like I think he was putting his breath means more than like his oxygen. It's his spirit. It's his being. It's his essence.
Yeah.
And so man goes and comes to life. So man and woman are made in his image and filled with him, but sin comes into the picture. That explains why there's COVID. That explains why there's broken relationships. It explains why there's anger and division and people angry on social media. It explains why there's all this stuff is because man and woman said, we love God, but we want to actually be equal to God. Mm-hmm. And so they rebelled and sin came in and we were broken. And God is like oil and water. You know, they can't, those two can't mix. Mm-hmm. God and sin can't mix.
Right.
When sin came into our heart, God said, sorry, I have to remove my breath. Mm. So we were emptied of God. But here's the thing about us. Once sin came in, we started leaking. And so we got filled with sin, but it didn't fill us all the way. Mm. So we needed more sin and more sin and more sin. And anybody who's listening knows what this is like. If you've looked at something you shouldn't looked at once online, rarely is that like, well, that was enough. I don't need to do it again. No, you feel a desire to do it again. Mm-hmm. Or if you've done something with friends in secret, rarely was it like, well, that was just once and we had our, nope, we're going to drink that, smoke that, look at that, watch that, do that. We're going to do it more and more and more because yeah. we like that. That's how sin works. Mm. And so we became more and more polluted. Jesus came onto the scene and died, and his blood literally washed out that sin. But here's the deal. That leaves us empty still, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of us in the church, we go, Jesus died for you, so be good. And we end the gospel there, yeah, right? So your question, this is a very long answer to your question, why believe in Jesus? Because it's the whole gospel, the good news. Jesus did die for me and cleanse me of that sin that pollutes me, but that's still not enough. And Jesus knows it's not enough.
Yeah.
Jesus says, it's better for me to leave and for me to send my Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So there's this crazy scene in scripture where Jesus looks at the disciples and he breathes on them. He goes, oh, he breathes on them. He says, receive my spirit. All those disciples would have said, that's just like in Genesis when God made man. He's doing right. that with us.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
And so I'm, again, talking to you students, here's why I still believe in Jesus because of that story. That all makes sense to me. It explains why there's pain in my life and hurt in my life. It explains why I have desires in my heart that are good. And it gives me hope that I can be filled with the right stuff, that Jesus makes me clean so I can be a place God dwells again. Mm. And now I can be filled with his spirit. And the Bible says, now I have power. I'm able to love well. I'm able to be at peace with other people. I'm able to become who I'm supposed to be. Mm. That is why I still believe in Jesus in a world that says, oh, believe whatever you want. This is why I choose this. Mm. That's very, very
long. No, that's great.
But here's what I believe I think I deserve for that long explanation. I wanted to push a sound effect. Your listeners had no idea you had all these sound effects.
We didn't really either.
We forgot about them and then, they're back.
All right, Zach.
Well, guys, you shouldn't forget. I'm literally reaching over the guy's control panel and pushing all their buttons. I'm sorry, but
that's perfect.
We're gonna use that. Fun.
Oh my! No, that's really good, man.
That laugh goes on a long time.
That's a long laugh.
It's hard to turn serious when they're still laughing.
Yeah, I know. That's super good, man. I just think that in this broken world, in the world of social media, in the world of like instant gratification with like all kinds of substances that we can use that you look at like pornography, you look at like alcohol and drugs, and even things like, I think even things like vaping and smoking, like all of those things, we turn to those things constantly to kind of numb the pain or to give us like,
sure,
give us like a, you know what I'm trying, but
I do. And I think we all want to feel good.
Yeah.
Because we all, if we're honest, feel not great, you know, like there's always underlying stress and there's always guilt and shame and stress and pressure and worry. And so, yeah, of course we want to do things that make us feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of course, so you get offered sex, drugs, whatever, it's like, well, will that make me feel good? Yeah. It'll also leave you feeling very bad later.
Right.
So I have tons of empathy for anybody who tries those things. I am not in any way saying go try those because no, they'll wreck your life. Mm-hmm. But I understand.
Yeah.
God wants to give you true peace. Mm. That doesn't just put a Band-Aid Amen. On mm. stress. It actually lets you hand over stress.
So good.
And, yeah, and that yeah. gets at the, you know, you're talking about the values versus actually knowing the story. Because, and I'm, this is encouraging me too, because I think sometimes I fall into the, oh, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, so I'm not supposed to have sex before I'm married, not supposed to do drugs, not supposed to get into these things. Okay, right. That's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Instead of fully understanding the story. No, here's why you shouldn't be doing those things. Mm. Because in the grand story, this is, you're made in the image of Jesus, and he cares about you, and this is what sin looks like, and that whole point of like sin leaking, and that's why, and like, and that's just an encouragement to kind of, you know, recalibrate the thinking here that first and foremost, like, we're missing the point here if we're just telling our students, here's how you act
yeah.
as a Christian. It should be, this is who you are. That is always who it should start, how it Absolutely. Should start.
Absolutely. And it is very discouraging to think this whole Christian life gets concluded in a list of things I'm not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, there are things I'm not supposed to do, but that's like secondary. Like, okay, so if you're playing baseball, something you're not supposed to do is tackle the second baseman, right? That isn't part of that game. Mm-hmm. Stop tackling the second baseman. So yes, there are rules, but people don't play baseball just so they can obey those rules. Oh, I can't wait to get out and obey some baseball rules. No, they want to hit homers. They want to steal bases. They want to catch flies. They want to play, right? Yeah. Mm. This is the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
You can live. You can make stuff. You can have purpose and meaning. Just don't tackle the second baseman. That's not part of this life. Don't go do that. That ruins this great stuff you're supposed to be doing, like seeking justice or communing with God in a really wonderful way, not just in a legalistic, like, well, have I prayed 5 minutes yet? But like actually knowing God and like making art, learning how to play guitar or how to dance or how to sing or how to write or how to whatever, or exercising and using your body in sports and making friendships and drinking coffee and enjoying sunsets. All these beautiful things are what we are free to do. Mm. Don't go do that other stuff, because that makes you a victim of sin and brokenness, right? Yep. But that's not the main goal. Yeah. It's just to avoid the things, right?
That's so good, man.
It's great.
Yeah, that's really awesome, man. So I kind of want to switch gears just a little bit here. So something that I'm pretty fascinated by is like leadership.
Mm.
Something I love to get to do is to get to lead a team of worship and tech volunteers. I'm super fascinated by leadership. And so I have a lot of respect for you as a leader. And so what I wanted to see for you, cause I feel like we have a lot of student leaders, that are listening. And I think this goes for everybody too, whether you think you're a leader or not, you are. Everybody is a leader. And so I wanted to see if you had a short, and it could be short, it could be not short, whatever, you know, whatever you think.
Sure.
But just an encouragement for students that want to grow in their leadership skills.
Yeah. So, I love it. I love that you are a place where students can lead. And I love that everyone is a leader, because, there are probably students listening to this right now that are going, yeah, not me though. Mm. We do have student leaders, but I'm not one of those. I just attend, or they think, well, once I get my act together, I'll start leading. Mm. This goes back to what we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes. Yep. It's like, no, you can lead now and you're free to lead now. Because just don't tackle the second baseman. Yes. I get so excited every time. I love that. Here is like a big caveat to this whole conversation.
Yeah.
There's a passage in scripture in the book of Galatians where it says, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Mm. This what this is talking about is if God's breath, right, is alive and active in you, like an orange tree, you'll just bear the fruit. An orange tree bears what its DNA tells it to bear. We have the DNA of Christ. We are literally his blood is covers us. Mm. So there's just going to be stuff we bear. Mm. That's just going to come out of our lives. And it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Mm. And nowhere on that list is leadership. Mm. leadership is a good thing. And the Bible does talk about leaders. Hear me on that. But what I see is a lot of people saying, you know what, I should be a leader. You should put me on stage. I think I'd be a great leader. give me more responsibility. I'm the leader. This, or people saying, this is my ministry. My ministry is singing on what, when do y'all have youth group?
Sundays. Yeah.
Sundays. Singing on Sundays. My ministry is running the sound. My ministry is whatever. Here's what you're called to be. Love, joy, peace, patience. You're called to have the Spirit in you and bear those fruits. Mm. And Cooper might give you an opportunity to get on stage, or he might ask you just to go, like, make that kid feel welcomed who's visiting. Mm. And you're still called to the same thing, mm-hmm. love, joy, peace. Mm. So what I want to tell your students, first of all, is don't make, like, a weird idol out of leadership where that's, like, when I've arrived. When I've arrived, I'm leading.
Right.
Actually, the people in Scripture who lead are some pretty messed up people. Like, if you read some of the Bible stories, those people are actually not always great. Like, not who you always... A lot of times, God picks really messed up, like, insecure, untalented people to lead, so everyone knows that it's really God who did it. Mm. So if you're put in a leadership role, you may be actually really insecure and needy and not all that talented.
Yeah,
and,
well, that makes me feel better then.
Yeah, yeah. Because then God is saying, like, see, this couldn't have happened without me, because even Cooper is being used by... Or, yeah.
You're right. Nice. That's amazing.
So... Or even Taylor is leading, right? So don't be like, I've arrived once I lead. No, you've quote unquote arrived once you've just said, I love Jesus and I want to love other people.
Mm, that's
other,
so good.
The other thing I'll say is this: Jesus shows us how to lead, and he washes his disciples' feet,
yep.
and then he goes on a cross and dies when he doesn't deserve to. Mm. If you want to be a leader, you do the jobs that make you not feel great.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not all about, like, I got on stage and I delivered this knockout sermon, or I sang a solo, or I mixed. Sometimes, like, I went and hung out with that kid that nobody else wants to hang out with.
Mm.
Now you're leading like Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Now you're doing what he wants you to do. So bear the fruits of the Spirit and lead as a servant.
Yeah.
Don't lead as a leader.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
That's great. We also have a few students, actually quite a few, that I've talked to that are considering ministry, post high school. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you went to Johnson, Cooper and I went to Lincoln, to study and do ministry. For those students, do you have, like, just a little encouragement for them, a word of advice, for those students that are considering that?
Yeah. Probably first, don't go to Lincoln.
Hey.
Secondly, go to Johnson.
Yeah. We need, like, a video of what it looks like for us to be. Oh, that's an. Oh, there we go. Okay.
We're doing it too much. Too much. Too much. No, Lincoln's great. Any students who are saying, I think I want to go into ministry, I would say, oh man, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is just as significant as someone saying, I want to be a cop, or I want to be a lawyer, mm-hmm. or I want to be a teacher, or yep. I want to be a stay-at-home mom, or I want to, I just want to go get a trade and learn how to weld, or be a mechanic, or I want to take over my dad's shop, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that is a great job to have. All of your students have the same calling.
Mm, yeah.
Hear me here. Going into ministry is great. It's how you'll get your paycheck. Everyone in Scripture has the call to depict and show the world Jesus.
Mm.
Getting paid for ministry is something that was made up way after the Bible was written. And I love it. I've gotten paid to do ministry in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those. But I am no more called to do the work of Jesus than the realtor. My wife's a realtor. She has had people, we have done a lot of the ministry we do as a family because of the people she's met more than the people I've met.
Yep.
Oh man, what amateur forgot to turn off his phone? That's me. I did it. That is me. And I'm sorry. I don't even know what sound does this make? Yeah, that seems appropriate. Crickets, I guess, work for me being an idiot. I love it.
No, it's all good.
So all that to say, a lot of the ministry my family and I have been able to do is because my wife's a realtor and has brought people to church that she met, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
And so yeah, go do that and go do it well, but don't think more highly of yourself than you ought.
Yeah.
Than you ought, scripture.
That's what I was going to say. Do it humbly. Mm. Like, approach it humbly. It is an important calling. It's a great calling. It's also a humble one.
Yeah.
You know, because a life of doing ministry is a life of serving. And so that too, I think could be an encouragement too. If you're, you know, going into this prideful and you're not ready to take the form of a servant,
mm-hmm.
and you think it's going to be all being on stage and getting the spotlight, then I would do some heart work.
Yeah.
And some walking with Jesus and learning how he did ministry before you step into that. So
yeah, and Taylor, I mean, you just completely nailed it. So for those listening, Taylor is here actually in person, which is really cool. It's been great having you here so far.
Yeah.
And but he just gave a talk to a room full of kids and youth ministers, and just drawing from Philippians 2, which is one of my favorite passages. I think until the day that I die, I will continue to receive more and more, like, just good insight from that passage. And I feel like the Spirit will just keep illuminating different things about Jesus through that passage. And so if you want to be, I think, a good leader and a good worker in ministry, read Philippians 2. And I just was super encouraged by what you said, man. Like, and that's why I was going through my notes to try to remember exactly. But you said, I can't remember your exact phrase, but and I wrote something down that you said, and I might have wrote it down wrong, but this just really stood out to me. It said, if we want to do ministry well, make yourself nothing. That's what you said, right? Or yeah. Something.
And it's from Philippians.
Paul
says that Jesus emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, meaning Jesus was God, right? Jesus had more glory than the Son, you know, more power than our whole solar system. He's mighty and powerful and big, and he emptied himself of all that and then became a baby that was, I've had three babies now. They are completely helpless. They can't hold their heads up.
Mm-hmm.
So to go from more powerful than the galaxies to not being able to hold his head up, so that he could then someday he could be crucified and accused falsely by people to be murdered. That is who we model. that is
insane.
Who we're trying to be. Yeah.
Just insane.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't, I can't even imagine. I mean, none of us can, but that is just crazy. And it's so inspiring as a minister, as a pastor, to remember that.
Yeah.
And so thank you for bringing that.
Oh, my pride always, it's in all of us. It's in your high schoolers listening right now. I know you all struggle with pride. I struggle with pride. We all swing back and forth from like, I'm awesome to, oh man, I'm crap. I'm nothing. We all swing back and forth between that.
Yep, right.
And the great thing about Jesus is he makes me go, no, I'm not awesome. He's awesome.
Mm.
No, I'm not crap. I'm destined to do his work. Mm. Oh man. Like,
so good.
I land in this totally new place with him. So
it's great.
Yeah.
Well, Any last piece of advice, any last piece of encouragement for our high school students listening, you know, one more shot to encourage them in something. What would you say?
Yeah, let's see. I'll give them practical advice and then spiritual advice. Practical. I wish I had started flossing at a younger age. Like, I brush my teeth. I'm down for mouthwash. Yes. And I just didn't floss. And now I regret it because I realized your toothbrush doesn't get all that stuff.
Yeah.
You got to floss to really get out. Do you guys floss regularly? Let's get real. Let's have some real
talk. I don't floss regularly.
Once a week, once a month, once a year.
Probably, let's say once a week is when
that is far better than I do. Much better.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Do you floss?
I'm not even going to answer.
Oh, that means he doesn't floss ever.
I haven't been to the dentist in 2 years either.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, get
my mom
clean,
keeps
bro.
Telling me I need to go, and I'm like, exactly. My mom keeps telling me I need to go, and I'm like, I'm not going to the dentist. No.
Yep. It. Kids. You make sure you floss. There's the first one.
I love it.
Second one is this. Think about Jesus as a relationship you have. And man, that's a churchy thing to say, but I don't mean it to be churchy. I think we just get so focused on what do I need to do to be good to go?
Mm.
Like, have I done enough with Jesus? Have I read my Bible enough? Have I prayed enough? He is a real being who wants to relate to you. So how do you, with your personality and your quirks and your background, relate to Jesus? Now, I don't think you just go, oh, I don't need the Bible. That's not how I relate to him. Oh, I don't need to pray. That's not how No. We need to know his word. We need to do these things that he's given us. But don't think like Cooper seems to really be on fire for Jesus, so I'm going to try to do what he does. No, Jesus wants to know you.
Mm.
So seek that out rather than just give me the rules to follow, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, let's take the training wheels off, man. You might crash and wreck every once in a while, but you're going to learn how to ride that bike. Take off the training wheels. Stop asking, what do I do just to make sure I'm a Christian? Start exploring what it means to really know, to know Jesus.
Mm. It's so good, man.
It's great. Awesome.
So much good stuff.
Thanks, guys. Well, thanks for letting me. Yeah, this is super fun.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay.
No, seriously, man. Thanks so much. Like, I'm really excited to go back and listen to this even just to continue to be reminded of the wisdom that we talked about here and just super appreciate it a lot. So,
yeah, thank you guys. Love what you're doing. Love Eastview. Love your kids. Honored to be here, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for being great.
Well, we're gonna key you in on something we do every week. We do it with every guest. So this is our funniest thing that happened to you this week. So hopefully you have a funny story that you can share with us. But like we always do before every time, we bring our jingle and Cooper is going to play that for us.
Here we go.
Funniest thing that happened to you this week.
There it is.
Wow,
that's
guys.
Our, yeah, there
that
we go.
Sure is catchy.
Yeah.
That's going to be stuck in my head all day.
Sure is catchy. That's great. So, Taylor, so do you have a funny story?
Oh, good. Yes, please start with me.
I can go first if you want to wait.
You go first.
Okay.
I'll think on it.
Actually, this is probably the best one that I've had in weeks.
Oh, good. We've been hoping. Sometimes it's a little dull.
Okay. So
yeah, I've heard about Cooper's funniest.
Oh, great. So last one anyways, I'm just going to keep going. So I think this is pretty good. This is actually a little bit more than just a week ago. But I live with my parents right now. Just kidding. It's great.
Yes.
I love them.
Yes, you do.
I have the basement area to myself. So it's kind of like a basement apartment thing. But we have been having a lot of trouble with mice. The reason, the way
Yikes.
That I found out, this has actually been resolved now, but the way that I found out we had a problem with mice is that I woke up in the middle of the night to a mouse running down my leg.
No.
In my bed. Yeah.
No.
So yeah.
That is nightmare level.
Right. So
that's not funny.
Yeah.
This is terrifying.
So what happened then was we started setting out traps and we just kept catching them over and over. And there were a few times where we just saw them and they just ran out like in front of me.
Goodness.
Like I'm like downstairs, like trying to go to bed and you know, all of a sudden I see one running around. And so the story is this. So it's Sunday night football about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it is Tom Brady playing against the Patriots. So Yeah. Huge. Yeah, if you guys are football fans listening, that's a huge deal. Okay. So Brady, the GOAT, of course, is playing the Patriots, and it's his first drive that's about to happen. And all of a sudden a mouse runs out right in front of me. I'm sitting down in like my little living room with my, you know, watching the game, and this mouse runs right in front of me. It was a good, so I get my shoe and I, you know, do what needs to be done. And
you, yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
That escalated quickly.
Oh yeah.
A mouse ran out in front of you. Then you crushed it with a shoe.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's instantaneous. So it's humane, I think. But,
caught it. I'm not, mice are usually pretty fast.
They are, but this one was like, it was wigging out or something.
You said that like, you said that like, that's a thing we all have lit. Yeah. I'm 37. I have never crushed a mouse with
really?
A shoe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, the mouse came out, so I took the shoe and did what needed to be done. And, no, man, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, but you know what's crazy?
What?
I have killed a mouse with a shoe. Yeah. That was my first reaction to catching
this
a mouse.
Yeah, yeah. Central Illinois like, thing.
If you let it go, then it'll just get right back inside, so you just got to get rid of
and
it.
And the mouse I killed was stuck on a sticky trap.
Oh.
And those things are just
that's
inhumane
horrible,
and terrible.
It, yeah.
And I'm like, I got to put it out of its misery.
Yeah.
It's far better story than...
Yeah. So anyway, but what happened is so Brady's about to take the field, okay? And I kill this mouse with my shoe. But then Brady takes the field. Well, I can't like waste time getting rid of this mouse because Brady's on the field. And so I just leave it right in front of my chair and it's just sitting there dead. And so I am just sitting there watching Tom Brady, you know, take the Buccaneers down the
and
field.
And this murder and scene and is
there's
sitting
this
right
mouse
in front of
just
you.
Sitting there like all dead right in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's psychotic.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe students will think less of me or not. I don't know. But hey, listen. That's my story.
Let's save Taylor for last.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be a great grand finale, but it just gives me a little more time to think.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
So obviously getting married in 10 days, Taylor, you didn't know this, but,
congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, it's exciting. So, the big thing with weddings is like your hair has to look nice. Right. And my hair was getting out of control, but we decided to wait to get it cut because Ritasha's like, I like it best when it's like a week and a half after you get your hair cut.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
too short. It's
right,
not too
right.
long. It's
like that 10-day window.
Smart.
Anyway, so she makes an appointment to get both of our hair done. She's going to get some coloring, make it all nice. And she's like, I made an appointment for you two at the same time. And she's like, I'll get my hair done. And while it's like drying, then you can get your hair cut. So I go, you know, thinking like, okay, Dill, you know, I didn't know how long it takes for a girl's hair to get done. So I'm like, all right.
Right.
No, she's like, all right, like maybe like 30 minutes to get the color on, you know, let it dry, then like, you know, take it off. And that takes 10 minutes. So I'm like, you know, 45 minutes tops. I'll go in between. So anyway, she starts to get the hair color. And first of all, I have no idea how this is done, but she starts putting the color on and it's like, it's blue. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, why is this blue? But apparently it looks blue when it goes on and it turns blonde after. Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't know that. Why would I know that?
I know nothing.
Yeah. But apparently that's how it goes. But anyway, that took like over an hour. And then it's like, okay, we're going to dry it. So I go and get my hair cut.
Yeah.
And it takes 15 minutes, you know, to get my hair cut.
Tops.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your hair right now. It looks great. Thank you.
It does look good.
That's not a 15-minuter, man.
No.
That's 7 minutes.
Yeah. On that. And let me tell you, I thought we would soon be done after that. We were not.
Nope.
Soon to be done.
Uh-oh.
After that, because then the blonde, you know, the tinfoil comes out, the color, you know,
right.
Get the coloring, then you dry it, then you wash it, then you dry it again, then you got to wash it again, and then you got to, and then curl the hair. I was at this place for 4 hours thinking.
Oh, yikes.
I'm like, I was at a 4-hour haircut. Mm-hmm. And my haircut took 15 minutes.
Or seven.
Or seven.
Here's what I don't know anything about ladies doing their hair. I just always know it always takes far longer. Like, I'm going to overestimate. I'm going to overestimate how long it's going to take. And I'm always way short.
Yep.
It always takes longer.
I'm not making that mistake again.
Nope.
Just bring like a book.
I'm dropping her off next time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or if she's like, we're going to get a haircut together. It's like, cool. When in the weekend do I show up?
Yeah, right.
I don't have anything. Just yesterday, I clocked my head as hard as I possibly could right on my car door. Oh. So I was picking my little girl up from her car.
Nice.
It's sad. And I don't know what happened, guys. I had the door open. I got my little girl out of her car seat, and I turned and just like it was the kind of hit where your head flies backwards, red mark on the forehead, and little spinny and dizzy. But I'm also now holding a toddler that I need to not drop. And when I'm angry, when I get hurt, I get a little angry about it. But I need to not like crush her out of anger.
Yep.
And so it was, and I was just alone. But you wonder. Did anybody see it? Like, is there somebody in that house over there who just happened to look out their window and just saw this dude clock his head? Because when you see it, when you think of it from that perspective, it's always really funny.
Yeah.
But I am realizing how unfunny my life is. My funniest thing is like, I got hurt. I just got hurt the other day.
Sometimes that's the funniest stuff though.
It is.
Yeah.
But that's all I got.
Guys, thanks so much. This was great. Taylor, thank you so much. And if you guys listened all the way through, you're the realist. Thanks for being here.
You're the realist. Can we just flash the peace sign? Come on, Cooper.
I feel like I've been on the receiving end of this the most.
Yeah, you've gotten a lot more of the set.
Yeah. Hey, it's fine. I can do it. I love it. Hey, the realest people that are here with us still right now. Thanks for being here, guys. And if you enjoyed the episode, please share on social media. It always helps us out a ton. And we love you guys, really appreciate you, and hope you have a great week.